computer.
All right, this is the February 2023 Esperanza board meeting, and we have President Jesse Hyatt, Marty Banks, Elogio Alejandre, Brian Cates, and Cody Case. Just for the record, Juan Freire is excused. He's out of the country. We also have Ari Moreno and
Becky.
And Becky excused for personal reasons. We're missing Shalene and Phil. So just so that's easy to type up.
Phil asked to be excused. He had something. Okay.
All right. Perfect. But just for the record, because we have two of the board members that are out of town that have given their votes, we do have enough. We have four out of six. So that's plenty to make our motions tonight. And we're going to go ahead and start with Brian.
Hey, good evening. So as a general update, I know we talked about a little bit about this last month, but we're getting more kind of firmed up plans as far as the funding for next year. It's looking very good. They're projecting 6% increase for local replacement fund, as well as a 6% increase in the WPU. So very, very good. The legislative session obviously is ongoing. It'll conclude in about a month. At that point, we'll get more firm figures and hopefully, you know, more clarity on some of these funding buckets that they're proposing as far as how actually they will come through. I know a lot of people have heard about the increase to salary teacher compensation, which overall is very good, but there's still a lot of questions to be answered as far as how exactly that'll come through, if it'll be wrapped up into the WPU or otherwise. So main message is that the funding projections look good for FY24. Obviously, once we get some firmed up numbers from the state next month, we'll start to piece together our budget for next year, and I'll work closely with Elohi on that, and then hopefully have a preliminary draft in the April finance meeting to review, if not definitely the May meeting. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and share my screen. We'll take a look at
Hey Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah,
was that a yes?
Yeah, can you not hear me? Okay.
I can't, sorry, I just have an audio problem. Everything's great, keep going.
Okay. Yeah, if I need to speak up, just let me know.
Nope, you're fine.
Okay. All right, and let's see, Elohio, if you can give me that permission to share my screen, please.
You're good now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is the PTIF statement. For the current year, you can see up here an interest earned just over $28,000 for this fiscal year. So this is July through you can see July through the end of previous month, end of January. $5,530 in December, and then January's is about $6,100. So very good. We continue to increase that forecasted line item in the as far as interest income goes in our budget. So that's great. As far as our budget summary goes for the current fiscal year, as of the end of January, we're about 58% through the fiscal year. Our metrics look good. We're projecting about a 4.7% operating margin currently. Our revenue and expense categories all look good. Elohio and I have been working not only in the finance meeting that we had today, but also in a separate meeting that we have regularly to look at budgets and look at specific line items to determine, you know, if adjustments need to be made there. On the cash front, our cash balances look good. Starting to kind of level off as they typically do this time of year, but overall very good. Enrollment looks like we've gotten a couple kids back, which is typically what has happened over the past few years, a couple kids will leave mid-year, then we'll get them back, and you can see that reflected there in the enrollment. 531 as of the end of January. Okay. Questions? So overall, things are looking good. As I said, we'll look forward to getting the legislative estimates as far as revenue projections next month, probably towards the end of next month, if not early April. And as I said, once we get those, we can get to work on putting together a projected budget for next year. And yeah, that is my report. If there's no questions, I will pass it back to you, Cody. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Appreciate that, Brian.
Yep.
All right. So the first we have before
we lose Brian, just one question. Do you have a sense, Brian, of what the pending the proposed legislation on the payroll on the salaries increase, if that's got some good momentum behind it, or if it's a bit of a wish list? Do you have a sense?
My sense is that it'll probably go through. I was talking with Alohua about the same question, and at this point, if they're talking about the recommendations the way they are, I haven't seen that they not get through the legislative session. I'm not guaranteeing, obviously I can't say that it will, but I would say from what I've heard, it's a pretty good chances are that it will pass. Now, as far as exactly how it will come, that's yet to be determined. And what I mean by that is, will it be wrapped into the WPU? Will it come in a separate line item, such as the educator salary adjustment line item? That we don't know.
And Eulokio, what's your sense of the response we'll get from our teachers if that passes?
I think they will be really, really excited to see that much money coming. We do have more money than usual coming anyway. I mean, the governor and the legislature have both said that they want to focus on improving teacher salaries. So this will be a very good year for teachers.
Well, tell me how that works. I don't know, I haven't reviewed the legislation, but if that much is authorized for the teachers, do we have any discretion to adopt the? Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that roll forward and impact us?
Well, typically they increase the WPU, but this time around, like Brian said, I'm not sure how they're going to give us the money, because if they roll it into the WPU, the board has the discretion on how to spend the money. But if they give us a separate line item and it says this is $6,000 for every licensed, professionally licensed educator, then we do not have any say on it. They did that once before when they gave the teachers a bonus. They said, mm-hmm. Here is the amount of money each teacher will get. If you don't spend it, send it back to us.
Yeah, that was if you remember, one good example of that was the bonuses from the COVID, yes. During the pandemic. And that came as, like Alohio said, came in a separate line, which means it has a separate program code, which we track separately on the books, which means that revenue sits there in that code, and we then need to spend that by the end of the year. Whereas if it's just wrapped into the WPU, you know, theoretically, a school could, you know, increase the teacher salary by however much they want, and you know, there would be no tracking it in essence, and therefore no reporting. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes through.
That would end up in the general fund, wouldn't it?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what about next year? Mm-hmm. Does legislation contemplate? I'm having a hard time visualizing. Does this perpetuate itself every year?
It depends. It depends how the law is written. If this is a one-time $6,000 increase, and it's just one time, then no. And if they say now this is an ongoing amount, and then yeah, it'll affect every year from now on.
Yeah. Wasn't that the governor's proposal, but then the legislature's playing with it?
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Cody, you said that was the governor's intention, but what?
Well, he's the one that was proposing that in the first place, one that would be perpetual. But then the legislature, they're the ones that make those laws and decide what part of the budget gets spent. So,
it's so the legislature has already indicated an indication that this may be a one-time essentially bonus rather than a going forward raise?
They really haven't said it, Marty. They haven't. Some legislators agree with the governor. Others are having difficulty because it is an expenditure, an increase for now on. And so I think we just need to wait until they vote on the final law, because sometimes they change everything at the last second.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's what I tell everybody, you know, try not to speculate too much, because we just don't know anything for sure. And you know how it is when you talk about giving more money, if people get a $6,000 figure in their mind and it ends up being five, you'll have a lot of angry people, even then they're getting $5,000 more. So until this legislative session closes,
anything just don't can know. Happen. Yeah.
When is that, by the way?
When beginning of next month. It's about a month from now.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of big things of education on the book, so I'm sure they play with both of those. So
right,
they affect each other. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
The first action item was just voting on our minutes, accepting our minutes from last month. Those went out in the email. Are there any questions on those minutes? They were pretty short, pretty to the point. So,
hearing none, Marty Banks moves to approve the minutes as attached to our agenda for this evening's meeting.
Okay, I would second that. And then officially, Becky sent in her vote to accept the minutes, as did Juan. So motion would pass. Okay, the second item is, Callie. The second item would be a budget item from kitchen maintenance. Is that the line item that it is? In the budget, you want to explain that, Olofio?
Are we talking about the dishwasher?
Yeah, the dishwasher.
Okay, sorry. I was.
I don't know if it was facilities or there's an actual item that says kitchen.
This is because the expenditure is so high, we need to make the board aware of the purchase. And so that we have funding and the nutrition program, and we received a letter. I forget when it was, Brian. Was it last year?
I think it was, may have been the year before that, but.
But we have more money in the nutrition budget than we should have. They want us to lower it. And they asked us for a plan to spend down. And so one of the things we are purchasing is a washer, dishwasher. And it's right around 11,000, as you can see on the.
Did we go through the approval process with the state on that by chance?
We did send it to them with a letter, the plan, okay. the expenditure, and after the board sees it, and if there's any questions that we'll answer them, and even after, before we actually purchase it, we are going to turn it into the nutrition program so they can approve it, because it's about. Yeah. What is it, $14,000? And so,
yeah, anything. And just so I ask that question, so everybody knows, whenever you're spending federal funds, anything you buy that's over $5,000 needs to be approved to the state.
Yeah, yeah. But and it also requires us to inform the board and answer any questions that you may have. And that's why we brought it before you tonight.
Any questions about that, folks?
None here.
Okay. Perfect. We appreciate you sharing with us then. The last item was something that Alokio sent out about a salary table change for, I want to make sure I get this right, but it was for paraprofessionals. But there was another item with it.
No, so the paraprofessional is not a change. It's just the one for next year. It's a new one. We, okay. You guys have not approved that one. You guys only approved the administrator and the teacher salary. And so that's all it was. So this one is the new one for next year. It includes a 10% increase. Why a 10% increase? Because we're having difficulty retaining the TAs. They come and go. And so we do need to increase it a little bit. So the base salary right now is $1,362. We're increasing it to $15 an hour, the base. And then they get additional money for having a associate degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, for working in special education or being an interventionist. So they do get more, but the base salary is only 15, which is the same $15 an hour for non-academic teacher assistants, like the people outside and all those kinds of people that work in the kitchen, that they don't have to have an education, even a high school diploma in some cases. Their minimum wage is $15. And then they get experience. Every year that they're with us, they get a 1% increase of the $15. And so it'll increase about 10 to 12% depending on the teacher assistant that comes to work for us.
I presume that every school in the Valley is experiencing the same challenge in attracting and retaining these kind of TAs.
Yeah, so these people are, they don't have to have a college degree. So there are many people vying for their services. And so even the Burger Kings and all those guys are raising them minimum wage 15 and some of them even $17 an hour because they work late nights and weekends. And so that we have that benefit of attracting these people because they don't have to work evenings and they don't have to work on weekends and they have to work school hours when their children are in school. So we do attract them, but we want to retain them from year to year so we don't have to do retraining every so often. This year is actually not as bad as last year, I got to say, but we still want to compensate them better so that we can retain them a little longer.
That's, I was glad to see the salary table because I just on the other end, I've experienced that same thing. Just
and those
having TAs, a hard time getting good people to come to school and stay.
And are those TAs for the most part, are they all full? Are they full time?
No, we do not hire TAs full time. Typically because they're so expensive. So you can hire one TA full time or three TAs part time. So the benefits are too expensive to hire them.
Got it. All of our TAs are part-time?
Yes, all the TAs are part-time.
Okay.
What's the max number of hours we're allowed to?
29 and a half.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. The district sometimes hire 19 and a half because there's another benefit, and I don't even know what it is, to be honest. But we just keep them at 29 and a half. All the TAs are 29 and a half.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions on that salary table? Okay, I would propose that we accept the salary table for paraprofessionals at all for next school year, as it is written.
Marty Banks seconds that motion.
Okay, and then both of the board members that sent in their votes also said they would approve it as it was written.
Thank you, Brian. See you next time. He left.
Okay. The other thing that I had is there was, you sent something out, Olohio, about, so have we, this, the first meeting for the expansion is coming up, right? We haven't met yet.
No, it will be March 7th, if I remember correctly, at 5:30.
Right.
We talked to Red Apple, and I think is B Singer still with Red Apple? Oh, Brian left. But anyway, so they're going to join us. They're going to guide us in the process on the 7th at 5:30 p.m. Anyone is welcome. But Becky says that she can make it. The parent will make it. The teachers will make it. So I think we're good.
Okay, perfect. The rest of the time is yours, Alofio.
Okay, let me, I don't have too much, but I do have a couple of things.
I think we would have a request. It normally comes up, but in March, it would be nice to just to see the mid-year Acadians and Dibbles, and that way we, because you guys always share with us how you're preparing for Rye.
Yes, yes. So. And we were planning to do it this time. I don't know what happened to Mr. Omar Gosain. Our other vice principal is out on maternity. And so, and they've had the parent-teacher conferences this week. And so they're working late. They were working late. So I'm wondering if he just went home and forgot about it. So I'm opening up the February. Can you all see it?
Yes.
Good. From the beginning.
Yeah, we're seeing the new employee training window right now.
Okay. That's tomorrow. Let me, I don't know what. Let me just quickly. But it looks like Natalie wants to do her report now because she needs to leave. So you want to
okay.
tell us, Natalie?
That's sorry. So I think just the big update for me, not big update, but just for everybody to keep in mind, chocolates is coming up and we are going to do our chocolate fundraiser again. Last year we brought it back from the time that we stopped doing it because of COVID, but we had success last year and more participation than we imagined. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off again this year. And we have it scheduled at the end of February. We'll have an assembly again, introduce the different prizes that can be collected from one box all the way to five. And then we will close that out at the end of March, right before spring break. So that's just something I think that the kids will be looking forward to. And then another thing is we did contract somebody to build the goalposts for the school. And he gave me a date today that the absolute latest that he would install them would be the day before we leave for spring break, which was March 26th. If I'm not looking at a calendar, but it was like March 26, 27. But he also feels that he could possibly do it earlier, but he wants to do it on a weekend. And so depending on weather and all those things, he just wanted to give like a rough estimate, but also like not over promise and under deliver. So yeah, that I think the kids are going to be extremely excited. And I'm not sure if the board was aware that we incorporated SBOs in our sixth grade, and they are pretty adorable and excited to be like involved in Esperanza's culture and having those responsibilities of SBO, like a vice president and a secretary and one that does like treasury and things like that. So as different events come up, like yearbook, we have, you know, somebody like a historian that does photography, we're going to incorporate these new SBOs that we have. Just so I think Alcala, one of her big things was that she wanted to, you know, give them that opportunity to like see what it's like for junior high and high school and whatnot. So they are super cute kids. We had a meeting a few weeks ago and they were so professional, but they brought up an event for sixth grade and sixth grade only. They wanted to do kind of like the breaking in of the goalposts because they were a part of the fundraiser last year, the chocolate sales, but they won't get to enjoy them as much as our students that are currently attending. So they wanted to like do a little ceremony. So we'll talk more about that and see how, if that is something we can really do. But so yeah, that's it. And then we had parent teacher conference meals yesterday and the day before. And I think that was received well. And I think we, you know, I mean, I'm always happy to serve our teachers and make sure that they're fed and taken care of while they're working so hard. So that is it.
Hey, how were those? Thanks for that report. Super helpful. Much appreciated. How are the SBO officers appointed or selected?
So they did posters initially, and they like ran. They actually ran the. They were voted on. I think they definitely like campaigned themselves. I wasn't a part of the process as far as like voting. Like I didn't get to vote, but I think it was administration that voted, right, Alejo?
So what? All the kids in 4 through 6 voted, right, Mr. Hyatt?
Yeah, we had each candidates who wanted to vote. It was kind of like a pre-election, preliminary election, and then it came down to 2 candidates per office, and then students voted between those 2 candidates. So it was for the primary election, and then I think there was several way ties. So then it came down to, in some offices, yeah, the administration had to step in.
Yeah, it was very, very close. So the teachers were not voting initially either. And then in order to break the tie, and in one office, even after three different votes, it was still tied. What is that one? Do you know, Natalie?
I don't. It was vice president.
Vice president. And so we selected 2 vice presidents.
Yeah.
We couldn't break the tie.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have flipped the coin, but we didn't think it would be fair.
The wisdom of Solomon.
Yeah. So I think it's a great idea. I think it teaches, again, it's an opportunity for leadership roles. And so next year, sixth grade has already talked about that they will make sure to start it earlier in the year so that they can have responsibilities like right from get go.
Yep.
So, but they are super excited. And it's fun to see our students already taking on these leadership roles and like wanting to and trying to engage and find opportunities.
And it'll be nice to see them in junior high and high school. Hopefully they'll continue to run for offices and we'll see our kids in leadership positions in the future.
Absolutely. I agree. Any other questions for me?
No, I was curious. With PTO, do we have presidents and president-elect and all those things?
We do not.
Oh, we do not. Okay.
No, currently we do not.
That's something that she's working on. She got 18 people to volunteer. So, but the problem is when she has a meeting, not a lot of them show up. So we need to figure out a way that we can increase that participation.
That she made me think about that. How are we doing with that and our PTO organization? And
yeah, during the pandemic, we kind of stopped all of that. And when we got back, we thought that there would be more excitement, but we haven't seen it. So we're right now talking about how we can. In fact, we talked earlier today.
About
how we can bring them back again. They do. They get excited. They sign up, but then at the meetings, they don't show up. So we need to figure out how to increase participation.
Natalie, are you also parent and community engagement, or is that somebody else that has that responsibility?
That's the first I've heard of anything like that. I'm not the one responsible for that. And not that I've heard of that before.
We're not talking about getting more PTOs, right? Because she is responsible for that, but to engage the community educationally. We haven't. That used to be a vice principal. So once, once we get the other vice principal back, we're going to be talking about that.
That's, I was just wondering, because then Natalie would have some support to work with parents and.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I've even talked to some teachers in our younger grades where it's like, you know, that their students are going to be growing in our community. And it's kind of the same thing where it's like, they don't feel like they can volunteer in their classrooms. And so, cause you know, now we have these TAs, but they have interest, but they don't show like a commitment to it.
And we were having a little bit of luck before the pandemic.
We
were getting, in fact, people to come and serve the parents and bring food and stuff. But after the pandemic, this is the first time, this is the first year since the pandemic that we've tried. And so they're not ready to come back yet full force. So we'll keep trying on that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thanks, you. Natalie. Thanks for letting me participate.
Can you guys can you guys see my PowerPoint now?
Not yet.
Really? What is going on? I'm going to, let's see.
There.
No?
There's your desktop.
I'm going to stop it, and then I'm going to go back to sharing it. How about now?
There we go.
You can see it now?
It says celebrations with the mariachi band.
Oh. How about now?
Yep.
Celebrations. Enrollment?
Yep.
Okay, so we are seeing it. Okay, good. The enrollment is the same as he mentioned, 531, and we're getting one more student back, so we should have 532. Becky sent us a couple of more students she wanted us to look at, but they haven't enrolled, so we may end up with a few more. I don't know if I mentioned this at the last meeting, so I put it on again because I wasn't sure if I mentioned it. At the director's meeting, they showed the entire group the 10 most stable charter schools in the state. Out of 120, 130, they say this is the 10 most stable schools in the state. As you can see, we're the fourth most stable charter school in the state. And so that was good news for us. And what they're talking about is enrollment and kids coming and going, and schools with financial challenges, enrollment challenges, and those kinds of things. So we're the fourth most stable school. And they did show the 10 worst stable schools, which would have been embarrassing for the the schools that were on there, because they did exactly what I'm showing you here. This is exactly what they presented for both groups. And I felt so bad for the people that were on the other end, but happy for us. That was at our January meeting. Our literacy night, we had over 200 families. So we were excited to see that many people coming to our school and trying to learn how to help and support their kids in learning how to read. We have another parent training coming up in March, and that will be the one for mental health support. We have suicide prevention, drug abuse prevention, violence prevention, and all those kinds of things that we will have experts in our building. Once again, we should have at least a couple of hundred parents that will be joining us. Our kids participated in the science fair. They did wonderfully. We had four projects that moved on to the state. This is the most projects we've had. Of course, we didn't have it during the pandemic, but before the pandemic, we had one or two projects that moved on. I think we had 3 1 year, but this is the first time that we had three 6th grade projects and one 5th grade project. So they're excited to go and compete at the state science fair this month coming up. Here they are. Out of 30 projects that go on to the state, we took 15th place for their project, The Hearts of Music. And then we had the 19th place with Alessandro Hernandez. He had a project called Gross. And then 23rd place with a group of three kids, I believe it is, down there at the bottom. And then 24th place with a fifth grade group of a couple of kids that took a project to the fair, and they're going to the state fair. So we're excited to see those kids moving on.
That's very awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. The teacher was really excited, the fifth grade teacher, seeing the fifth grade group go on, because usually that doesn't happen. We still have a waiting list that we're not going to probably touch anymore, because we have enough kids to end the year with, and so we won't probably go back to this anymore. This is the strategic planning proposal. If you want me to pursue it, I think it would be a good idea to have it in Ogden, because we are planning to, or at least we're talking about opening in Ogden. We do have the funding. We set it aside. We have the money to take us to that. I think we set aside $7,000, and right now it looks like it'll be more like $5,000. So I don't know if you want to talk more about it, or if you want me to move on with the agreement. Any questions, comments?
What days of the weeks are those?
Friday and Saturday, as always.
Okay.
We had the meeting there once before. And it's right across the street from a really nice restaurant that I can talk to the owner again to make sure that they let us have it in the back room. They have a special room for catering.
Any questions? Let's send it out to the board so they can check their calendars and give us a commitment 1 to 5, and then we'll see if we're all good. Then
okay,
we're good to go.
We still have time. It's not in a hurry, so I'll send it out.
All right.
And this is the meeting that we talked about earlier. It'll take place on the 7th, Tuesday the 7th at 5:30, and it will be on Zoom. If you want to join us, let me know.
Oh, you're not going to do it at the school?
No, the first one, the people commented that they just want to hear more from the committee about what our plans are. And also, they really want to wait a little bit. That's why we have it in March, because there's a proposal in the legislature to have a voucher system and fund really private schools, religious schools, even homeschools. And so they also want to kind of wait to hear what happens, because if that happens, we don't know what's going to happen to public education, not necessarily charter schools, but I think it will dismantle public education, because they will fund, if a parent has three kids and they want to stay home, they'll get $24,000 and they can stay home and teach the kids. And so if that thing, everything comes out the way that it's presented in the legislature, it will damage public education quite severely. So, and at that point, we would probably just need to retrieve into our school and kind of strengthen us, and rather than trying to expand at this time, because it would not be a good time to open another charter school needing 500 kids when now you have private schools and homeschools and all of those micro schools, they call them now, that would be funded, and they don't even have to apply. You can open up a business And then if the parents bring you the kids, you submit the names and you will get $8,000 per kid. So we'll have more by the 7th. And so I think the people from Red Apple will hopefully have also additional information.
Perfect. Yeah, send me the link. That would be great.
Okay. And those are the meetings that we have after this one. March the 9th, April the 13th, May 11th, and then June, just the strategic planning meeting. That's it.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks, Lokio.
Welcome. We started at 6:05 and we're ending at 6:45.
Probably the shortest meeting we've had.
I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, before you leave, just one last question. I know a lot of different people have a lot of different views on this student voucher bill that's passed. I personally think it's really, really dangerous, for public education. I'm respectful that a lot of parents do a great job homeschooling and different charter. But for us, is it naive to think from a limited perspective of our school, is it naive to think that at least for us, we would continue to get the same amount of dollars per student and that it really won't affect us?
I am very, very confident that the parents that we have are committed to us. And I am very confident that our waiting list is so strong always that we should be able to retain 525 kids at all times. I'm very, very confident in that. To expand, I think we would need to wait a little bit longer to see how many people take on the challenge of educating their kids at home and in private schools and how long they last. But I am not concerned about Esperanza Elementary. I think that, like I said, people love what we do, and I think they're happy with our services, and I don't think we're going to be hurt.
But it would be naive of us to not recognize that we do have younger families that may be more susceptible to economic pinches and might be really tempted to take that $6,000 for times three kids, right?
There will be some. Just like when the schools around us opened up, it would have been naive for us not to plan ahead and say, you know what, we're going to enroll 550 kids because we know that they'll take some. They took a handful, maybe 12 kids, if I remember correctly, one school and the other one six. They did take some. And I think some of our parents will take the challenge and take the money and run. But I am confident that once they do it for a month or two, they won't want to do that again. Why? Because during the pandemic, parents were not happy with that we were not open. And as soon as we opened the door, 95% of the people returned. Yes, we will lose some, Marty. We will definitely, and maybe our wait list will not be as strong. But 500 kids, we will retain 500 kids, I'm pretty certain.
Okay, thanks for the feedback. I appreciate it. Okay, anything else, Cody?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you.
Yep, likewise. Thanks for your evening.
Appreciate all of you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good evening. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.